Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs.
It's so understandable that I feel this way. It's so understandable that I feel this way. I long for that. I wish for that. I want that. I want some freedom. I want to sleep. And, you know, just tell ourselves also not to get stuck if we are feeling resentful of people we know, you know, siblings of ours who are empty nesters, our friends, our best friends, whoever we see on social media living their best empty nester life. Like, let's make sure we don't get stuck in resentment. And if we are, then call for help, call a friend, call a mentor, call a coach, call a therapist. Like, I'm so stuck. And really, I think it all comes back to grief. Grief in this journey is cyclical, and it's okay.
Hi, Bravies. This is Jessica Pate, mom, storyteller, advocate, and the founder and CEO of We Are Brave Together, whose mission is to preserve and protect the mental health of caregiving moms everywhere. And I'm joined by two fantastic fellow Brave Mom co-hosts to help answer your questions.
Hi, I'm Susanna Peace Lavelle. I'm an author, a certified life coach and soul care coach, and an advocate for the health and wellness of disability families everywhere.
Hi, I'm Dr. Zoe, a licensed psychotherapist, writer, speaker, author, and complex shame expert.
We are gathered here to share our experiences,
share our wisdom,
and answer your questions.
Have a caregiving question? Find the link in the show notes to leave us your message.
May you feel seen and heard and not alone.
Ask us anything.
Hi, Dr. Zoe, Susanna, and Jessica. I was wondering if you could shed light on us parents who will not be empty nesters. I am struggling right now because I see friends who are so free and spontaneous, and honestly, I am envious. As you guys always say, the grief buttons are getting pushed again. Thanks.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, Dr. Zoe.
Hi.
Hi, hi, hi. So good to be with you both. And hello, Bravies out there. I appreciate this vulnerable question. At least it hit me so personally. Kids are off to college, or they're off to the military, or they're traveling the world, or fill in the blank. And I feel like this hits home for the three of us here in different ways. It can be a really big pain point for myriad reasons. And so anyway, I'm glad to unpack this with you both today.
I am too. And when we say we're empty nesters, it means we are a parent or parents at home alone without children living at home anymore, whether that means, you know, forever because they've moved out and launched, or they're all in college, or some are in college and some are launched and living elsewhere. And then when we say forever nesters, that means parents who are caregivers to adult children with disabilities or medical complexities or high support needs or intense mental health struggles. And we just know that we will always be taking care of that adult as long as we're still here on this earth. So I just want to make sure everybody understood how we are defining this. I'm of the age where my friend's kids are going to college and finishing college and moving out. And I am genuinely happy for them. I'm genuinely happy to see how their kids are growing and thriving and, you know, flying and launching and all of it. And I wish I had some freedom. I wish I had less on my plate. I wish for that empty nest. And when I'm in a really super sensitive space and I see people saying how sad they are about their empty nest life, I can get resentful if I'm being honest. And then I have to just stop and say, okay, what's going on with me? It's about the grief. It's about just really wishing, longing, and wanting to be an empty nester.
I can so relate. You know, I feel like my experience has been a little bit different because I have such a large age gap.
And so when my first son went to college, he was 18, but there's a 12-year difference between him and my youngest. And so I grieved so hard. I cried for an entire year. I did all those things. And so I can totally, I can understand. And I know, Jessica, you have older kids that went to college as well, but I understand that feeling of being sad about the end of your child's, you know, childhood and knowing that things are going to change.
Yeah.
But it kind of didn't really occur to me because Sully was so young then either that, oh, this isn't going to happen with her. And it wasn't until I really started seeing that big difference between her and her peers, like the gap just continues to grow and grow and grow, right? That it really started, I just had that extra grief of watching her peers, surpass her, and also watching her younger sister, who's 7 years younger than she is, surpass her. And slowly over the years, it started to dawn on me, oh, yeah, these things aren't going to happen. There's going to be no getting your driver's license and, going to none of that stuff. And now she's 19, she's going to be 20 in a couple of months. And so we're beyond those things. And I have a 13-year-old at home. So I still don't have that empty nest, but I know that those years, you know, we've got 5 more years before she goes to college. And so I'm really starting to feel that sense of what a lot of our Facebook mamas have talked about, and we'll probably talk about that, is, but I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to just get up and go. Like, my life is changing. And as a single mom too, I'm dating, and I have a partner. I'm dating seriously. And as I think about our future too, I want to be able to have a future with him that's just us. And I don't know what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm truly going to be a forever nester. And in many ways, we still will. Like, even if she goes into some other, you know, residential space, there's still a lot more parenting and being hands-on than not. But I definitely have that sense of, I want that. Like, I have that dream of, you know, them launching and me and my partner being able to have a life together.
I would also like to acknowledge that it's not a binary. It's not either you're an empty nester or you're going to be a forever nester, because there are so many things that are up in the air, so many unknowns and uncertainties in this caregiving life as well. In addition to just wanting to also acknowledge those parents out there who were on this trajectory of having their child or children launching, as you call it, right? Launching. And then for whatever reason, having to then come back home. And I can talk about, you know, various clients and other moms in my circle who have had this expectation. Okay, we found this program, we found this post high school program, whatever it is, everything is going really well, until it wasn't, by their definition. And then now that adult child has been home for the last 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 15 years. And so then there's also that, there's another level of like, oh, but we've had this experience for a minute. Yeah. And then it's now, even when we're just meeting strangers out there and they're asking like what our kids' ages are, right? And my daughter, Arizona, you know, people will be like, oh, how, you know, oh, you're a mom. Okay, that's great. How old are your kids? And, you know, I always have to say, well, I have one, right? Sometimes there's layers with that too.
Oh, okay. You only have one?
Anyway. And then it's like, well, how old is she? Oh, she's 19. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, you're done. You know what I mean? I've heard that so many times. Like, oh, your daughter's 19. Oh, you're done. So where is she in college? She's not. Right. And then it's like, it could have been just like a quick conversation. And then I feel like, do I have to explain? I don't really want to explain. And
right,
depending on how I'm feeling that day, sometimes I'm triggered. Sometimes I'm like feeling sad. Sometimes I'm feeling an ache. Sometimes I'm like, you know, go away, stop talking to me, random person, you know, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So all of the above.
Very true. So as you all know, I posted several months ago in our secret Facebook group that we have for We Are Brave Together. It's a great place to connect online and share stories or vent or seek resources or share a win or a victory. And so I was just feeling the grief buttons, because, you know, we are far from being empty nesters, full house at the time with three adult-ish children. Since then, my oldest, Luke, has moved out and is in his own apartment. It's very exciting, and he has, you know, new job and all that. So it's very exciting, but still, the house is still very full. And with Ryan, who is my son, who's 22, he has Prader-Willi syndrome. He might be with us forever. He might be with us a few more years. He might leave and come back. Like, I don't know how it's going to go. And I was just feeling the grief at all. So I wanted to hear from our bravies. Okay. How does this hit you? What are you thinking and feeling? What are you longing for? And maybe each of us can take turns sharing some of those. One mom said, I want traveling not to be such a balancing act. If we want to take a couple's trip, we could just plan it and just go, and not to have to figure out the hows and where our son can go and for how long. And it would just be nice to have an extended time away, not a day, not a one night away, but just be able to get up and go. Another mom said, I'm so tired. I'm so, so tired. And I would like to have the luxury of making plans without having to get coverage. So like many of us, you know, we can't leave our kids 24/7. I can't leave Ryan to run to go get gas really quick and be gone for 15 minutes. I can never leave him alone. Yeah, we would all like the opportunity to just spontaneously get up and go, whether it's to do a mundane thing or just be gone and go to the Grove together and hang out and have a meal and go to a book event, right? Without having to schedule somebody for 6 hours.
Yeah. And I like, you know, she uses this word very appropriately in terms of like, I wish I had the luxury, because it feels so luxurious to us, right?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. It does. We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, brave friends. I thought this was great. I wish I could experience empty nesting, because I want to run around my house with nothing on.
I love that.
Freedom in your house. And you know, that happens. And we don't even think about that. But yeah, couples, after their children go away, get to kind of rediscover themselves and their relationships. And it can feel like you're being cheated of that when your children don't grow up and go away.
Or you have, and or you might have this idea, okay, let's retire. And yet you can't, because the bills are still, the medical bills, they keep coming, you know, program bill, you know, not everything is always covered. You know, right. We are not so resourced all the time, and things are always changing too in terms of what's available to our adult children. I mean, I feel like every day I'm learning about something new that's being taken away now that my daughter is an adult, you know, with disabilities, right? I'm trying to be as positive as possible, but like, all of these unknowns are really hard. And I remember thinking the other day, even though Arizona is 19 years old, right? She's not a toddler. She's not 5, 6, 7, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't have those types of needs. But in terms of like my fight or flight and my anxiety and my, you know, having to be just so responsible for every tiny little thing, like emotional, physical, physiological, you know, the food, right? The food stuff, in terms of Arizona and her allergies and just so many different things, I still feel like in my body, and again, I don't have a toddler, but I still feel like I am so locked in the same way that I was when she was younger. So I feel like I have this, you know, I might be a forever nester. I don't know, right? That is not my wish. That is actually not Arizona's wish either, but I don't know. We don't know, you know, do I have a forever sort of dependent in so many different ways? You know, I just see the different stages too, you know, with my siblings. I have, you know, so many nieces and nephews. It's just like the different milestones, like so many of Arizona's younger cousins are driving now, right? That's a whole nother set of freedom, like in terms of luxurious freedom.
Yeah, that's really nice when Luke started driving and then when Kate could drive herself everywhere.
Yeah.
It's life changing. It's life altering. And again, like, those seem like such simple things, but they are luxurious. And I want to highlight, there were several moms who said, I just want to be able to sleep an entire night.
Yes. Wow.
I mean, sleep deprivation is no Evan joke. It is no joke. Mm-hmm. I feel lucky that, yes, I have to get up early with Ryan. He's an early riser. Thankfully, I am a morning person. I never sleep in, but he goes to bed so early. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's not up till 10. He goes to bed at 7 to 7:30, maybe the latest. If he's watching sports with Chris or something, like, he might be up till 8 or 8:30. He can't last. He's so tired. Mm-hmm. He's so fatigued. Sometimes he's gone to bed at 6:30 and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to wake him up. I'm going to wake him up for a shower, whatever. Just let him sleep and we'll see what happens. And he's slept through. So just to be able to sleep. We have moms who are just wanting their kids to move out so they can just sleep. Mm. At night.
If we can remember how to, that is, because, you know, even if, you know, on the occasion that I do have lots of help, or, you know, Arizona's with her father and I can, you know, have a night, 24 hours rather, or maybe even 12 hours to myself, I'm still up at like 5:36 because my body clock has been so used to this for 19 and a half years. But it's important to wish. It's important to like name the things that we want to be, our experiences in this life. I think that's so important. I don't want us to ever stop thinking about like, this would be so great. I am questing for this. Like, I can't wait to go on a 2-week vacation and not have to check in with anybody.
You know, what's interesting is that that same woman who said she wants to be able to sleep an entire night immediately followed that up with, then I feel selfish for feeling this way. But I'm a little envious of my friends, right, that are empty nesters. And I just want to acknowledge that part of you that wants to have what most people get to have. And it's like a normal part of life, right? As you have children, you raise them and then you launch them. And to even feel selfish for wanting something that is kind of a normal part of life, I just want to give people permission to want something and to have that feeling and not feel selfish about it. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's supposed to be.
I say here in the States, for sure, that's our culture. Like, let's launch you out.
Yeah. Yes. And you're right. In plenty of other cultures, you have generations living in homes together. And you know what? That works also because that's very acceptable in the culture. Yes. And there's lots of support there. Yeah. We don't have that kind of support in our culture, in this country. We just have to acknowledge that, yeah, I have that desire and I have that wish and I'm a little envious, and that doesn't make me selfish. It just makes me human.
Yeah. Human. Yes. Yeah. So we can all say, it's so understandable that I feel this way. It's so understandable that I feel this way. I long for that. I wish for that. I want that. I want some freedom. I want to sleep. And, you know, just tell ourselves also not to get stuck if we are feeling resentful of people we know, you know, siblings of ours who are empty nesters, our friends, our best friends, whoever we see on social media living their best empty nester life. Like, let's make sure we don't get stuck in resentment. And if we are, then call for help, call a friend, call a mentor, call a coach, call a therapist. Like, I'm so stuck. And really, I think it all comes back to grief. Grief in this journey is cyclical and it's okay. Grief in this journey is cyclical and okay.
One of the things that I love about your new book, Dr. Zoe, around how you self-identify as a complex shame expert as a therapist. Mm-hmm. And I think about some of the replies from our community of mamas who are just like, I just wish I knew what it felt like to be spontaneous. Like, I wish I could be spontaneous. And the reason why I'm bringing shame into this is because I grew up, you know, in a very strict household. And also my personality is it's not that fun. Like, I'm pretty rigid. Like, I like things a certain way. I'm pretty easygoing in terms of like meeting all kinds of, you could drop me in any country at any period of time and I would figure it out. But I do like a schedule, and you know, my brain is a lot of spreadsheets that are open. And so I have heard my entire life before I even became a mother, like, you need to chill out, Susanna, a little bit. You need to relax. You need to have fun. Take your hair down, go dance on a table. Like, I've heard this my whole life, right? And now that I feel like, okay, I want to be more spontaneous. Like, I want to be able to say yes to the social events that I get invited to. Like, I probably say yes to maybe 20%, you know what I mean? Because of all of the different layers that are required in terms of support and knowing that I'm going to be up early tomorrow and just all of the responsibilities that I have. Anyway, even though I have this desire to feel and want to be so spontaneous, I feel limited. Mm. And then I feel like guilty. I feel this shame around, well, you were always this rigid person, so you don't get to be spontaneous now because this is how you set up your life to be, you know? It's just, I'm so complicated.
We all are, Susanna, but you're being mean to yourself. I feel for you. Like, you didn't set this up. You didn't ask for disability. You didn't ask for long-term, forever motherhood. That's not your fault. You didn't bring that on. You didn't ask for that. Just because I run anxious, just because your schedules are natural to you and you're rigid about this or that, that is completely separate. You don't deserve to be a forever nester because you've set up a very scheduled and structured life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Zoe, you'll appreciate this. One of the Bravey said, I just want to be able to eat or not eat when I want to, not on a schedule. And that was, you know, a fellow PWS mom. And I was like,
yes.
Yeah. Like, if Chris and I get a night away, or if we've taken Luke and Kate somewhere, it's like, I don't even have to worry about it. Or if somebody says, can we order room service or something like that? The first time we ever were away from Ryan when he went to PWS camp up at Camp Harmon up in Northern California, and we went to San Francisco. And I remember being in the hotel, all of us together, and Luke or Kate wanted to order pasta to the room. And we were like, it was a yes trip. We were like, yes. 8 o'clock at night, yes. Just the food freedom. For those of you who are out there listening, and what does this mean, and why are you talking about food and why it matters in PWS, Zoe and I both have children with Prader-Willi syndrome. And in Prader-Willi syndrome, you have an insatiable food drive. The body and the brain do not tell kids and adults with the syndrome that they've had anything to eat. So that, coupled with underlying obsessiveness and anxiety, leads to food-seeking behavior, and it interferes with their lives and our lives all day long. So live with a locked kitchen. Since Ryan was 13, I have to be very vigilant and make sure that everything is locked at all times, that I don't leave my purse that might have gum in it, you know, out. I hide it in the closet. We let you know, our other kids have locks on their doors so they didn't get ransacked, you know, looking for food or gum or candy. And our kids thrive on a food schedule. They feel more secure. We call it food security in the PWS world by having a food schedule, knowing not always locked into the clock. Some families are, some families aren't, but having a schedule, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner. We don't do a snack before bedtime. We do a sip of milk. Ryan knows that. It makes him feel secure that we follow the routine, and we have since he was diagnosed at 5 weeks of age. It would be nice to not have to think about food so much. And the vigilance, of course, with which we live to keep our kids safe from eating themselves sick or into a medical emergency.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to make a confession about our past year, because Sully is now at Latham Center at a residential facility, and she's been there for a year. And, you know, these kinds of burdens that we carry, we get used to them. We know they're there, and sometimes they really hit us and they trigger us. But this last year of having cabinets unlocked, refrigerator unlocked, not having to think about food, it's been amazing. And it's almost scary, because it's like, I don't want to get too used to this, because Sully's coming back in 2 years and I don't know what that's going to be like. But having her here over Christmas, you know, before she came, we locked everything up, reinforced the rules, reminded everybody, you know, what we have to do again. And we've gotten out of the habit of 3 meals a day. You know, my daughter, sometimes she doesn't do breakfast, or sometimes we'll do brunch. Like, we've been so lax. And Sully came home for 2 weeks, and it's like, zoom, like right back into that routine. And I remember, like, halfway through the Christmas break, I thought, I'm so tired of food. I'm like so done with food. Everything is like food, food, food. Either am I getting food? Let me make breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, like all the things, making sure she has her snack. I was just, you know, I've done it. I did it for, you know, 18 years. But being in that space for two weeks back there, it honestly terrifies me when I think about her coming back home, because I've had that freedom. And sometimes that freedom is almost worse, because you know what, you know, what you've been missing. And I don't know what that's going to look like when she comes home, and if we're going to, you know, what we're going to do, but it's real. It's real. Wanting that break.
It's real. Yeah.
And I wish both things for you to be true, in that you are relishing now in these moments of these little glimpses of, you know, my daughter does not have Prader-Willi syndrome, but she has crazy food allergies, and right. She has since birth. So I think about food every day, all day. What's for snack? What's for dinner? What can she eat? It's a very prohibitive thing for us, just you know, the topic of food. So when I have moments to just enjoy, I just hope we can really lean into, I just want us to be able to experience as much joy as possible in our lives, all of us, please, right?
Yeah. And even at the same time, you know, that I was tired of food, so tired of food, it's like, I can't wait to not have to think about food. I so enjoy having Sully home.
Right.
No, there's that too. It was so precious to just be able to sit on the couch and hug her. And I miss her, and we miss each other. And yet that burden is still real. It's all of it. It's wonderful at the same time that it's terrible.
I want to bring up this. One of our moms said, I want to be able to schedule a knee replacement surgery. She's a single mom, without having to figure out who and how someone can take care of my son while I recuperate. Yeah. And I think about all the time, I can't get sick. Nothing can happen to me. Yeah. I can't be disabled myself. I can't get really, 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 really sick, because who is going to take care of Ryan? I had a health scare last year. Thankfully, it was only a week and got okay results back. But when I was getting a biopsy, I was started crying on the table, and I said, I don't have any margin in my life for this. Like, I don't have any room for this. Like, I cannot get sick. I cannot get cancer. Like, I cannot, this can't happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think as we get older and we do need a knee replacement or a hip replacement or a this or that or whatever happens as we get older and we need some medical attention or what have you, or just, you know, God forbid we like fall and trip or whatever, right? And something happens, like, I can't afford to be on crutches. I can't afford not to drive. I can't, you know, just all the things, right? It's just a lot to think about when you think about the future. It's a lot to wonder and worry about.
We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, brave friends.
So as we're talking about this, I hope that people listening are feeling seen and heard and understood. And I hope that you're giving yourself some space to just feel the feelings. But I also want to interject hope, because at the same time that, yeah, for lack of a better word, it sucks that we might not be able to have that experience of empty nest. How can we still experience hope and joy in the space of grief, right? Because what we're talking about is grief. Grief is just loss, right? And that's something that we have potentially, some of us for sure, we already know that we've lost that opportunity to have an empty nest. And some of us are, we've got anticipatory grief, right? We're thinking that that's probably going to be the case for us. And so how do we experience some joy and hope in the midst of grief?
Certainly for me, I can speak for myself. I know that I had to make a conscious decision during this at some point in my motherhood journey, in my sort of extreme motherhood journey, in terms of like just having this epiphany one day, like, but I also want to be so happy and I want to experience joy. And I remember just really like, just consciously having this desire when Arizona was younger and had received a diagnosis and everything, everybody, even the professionals were like, this is about to be your full-time job forever. And, you know, even, you know, family members were like, well, this is your sort of lot in life and this is what you're here for. Good thing you're so capable, Susanna, right? Mm. And so I hear all of this, you know, information and words of like, just basically saying like, this is what you're meant to be doing and you're so good at it. So why not just keep moving forward? And I just remember thinking, okay, but I want to be happy. Yeah. I want to be of service. I want to be, you know, of course I'm a responsible mother and I, you know, want to be an amazing caregiver, all of these things. And I want to experience my own joy. I want to travel the world. I do. It is a quest of mine. I want to be able to dance with my friends. You know, I want to experience so many different things that are going to seem hard now, given that I have so much responsibility for this child who is my daughter, right? So I feel like I had to have this internal conversation with myself. And it kind of was like this aha moment where I was like, okay, but and for me, like, I know that I'm responsible for my child. And I'm so excited to hear that, you know, maybe there are so many more opportunities and possibilities available to her, right? Mm-hmm. And for me too, you know, for me too. And so I would just say that if someone is feeling paralyzed or stuck because they don't even know what it can be like for them to even experience like a little glimmer of joy, I think we start with the internal conversation of like, and here's what I would love for myself. I am so open and able and willing to receive joy in my life. We start there and then just see what happens. I mean, you know, I think what we seek is seeking us at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we just need to be brave enough to say like, I am deserving of this. This is what I want. It's not selfish and I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I mean, I just said a million things that aren't necessarily so easy to do, but I just know for me every day I seek out like one little thing, like what does joy look like for me today? Susanna, mm-hmm. what can joy look like for me today? Turning my phone off? Yes. Right. Whatever, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Susanna. I love that. And I, you know what the term that comes to mind too is radical acceptance, mm-hmm. is that the sooner that we can just radically accept that this is what we're going to do and this is what we're choosing to do. It doesn't feel like it's a choice to be an empty nester, but sometimes it is. It depends on where you live and what resources you have and, you know, what's available in your state and all of that. So it's not completely just a choice for everybody and you're choosing to be a forever nester. But I think radically accept this is what we're doing and I'm going to be intentional and I'm going to make memories. Mm. You know, like I sometimes think going one-on-one with Ryan places is easier than going as a family. And he's great with me one-on-one. He's great with Chris one-on-one. And I think I should just go and travel some of with him and visit some of my other PWS mom friends in other states, other places, and just give it a go and like have these little adventures with him. Yes, it's going to be more work, but we can create some really cool memories and it brings joy to him and it brings joy to me. So I think we start with acceptance and then get intentional, you know, about having joy and having memories and having experiences.
I love that. I love acceptance and intentionality. You know, the other thing that comes up for me too is find pockets, right? Find little pockets of space and time when you can kind of act like an empty nester. Mm-hmm. And I know that thought is, but I have to do all of these things, but I have to get care and I have to do this. And yeah, you do, but maybe work on just reframing. And that goes to that goes to acceptance. Like, okay, these are the things I have to do to get some of that empty nest experience, right? Mm-hmm. And tell yourself, I get to do these things to get this this empty nest experience. Because if you can find those pockets, that just like what you said, Susanna, like find your joy anyway. And yes, it's going to take a little more effort, but you can have some of those experiences if you can find the pockets, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what it made me think of when you said that? We can cosplay being an empty nester.
Right.
You know what that term is? Like,
yes.
Costume play, cosplay. Okay. So my daughter, Kate, went to Maryland to visit a friend in college and then New York. And then Luke and I met up with her in New York, kind of around the time that our Manhattan Connection Circle launched. So it was so cute when she got there and she went to campus with her friend and she took a picture of herself in class And she said, look, I'm cosplaying a college student. And it was just, it was the cutest thing. It was the cutest thing.
Adorable.
Because for our listeners, you know, my daughter's 20. She's not in college right now. She's figuring out what she wants to do. And maybe someday she will, and maybe someday she won't. But it was adorable. She's like, look at me cosplaying, being a college student. And so let's do that. Like, let's say today I get to cosplay being an empty nester. Mm-hmm. And my partner and I, or my husband and I, or my best friend and I, we're going to go like have brunch and mimosas or something at some place down the street. I don't know, whatever, right? Or I'm going to go for a luscious walk with whatever. Like, let's cosplay being empty nesters and bring some of that joy into our lives, you know?
That's exactly right. I love that. I love that about the cosplay. You know, I have a daughter who is just all up into sort of anime and K-pop and different characters. She's a doll collector and she always likes to dress up like her favorite characters. And that's her reality. And that's what brings her joy. She has found a way to find the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So sometimes we can dress up like empty nesters.
Exactly. You know, it's an opportunity for self-discovery, even though our kids are with us. It's an opportunity for pursuing little interests or trying something new. Or Chris and I are trying to do some brain games together instead of turning on the TV at the end of the night. So we have some crossword puzzles. Was I ever a crossword puzzle person? No, but it's kind of fun to do it together. You know, like we can try new little things as if we were empty nesters and bring those little glimmers in, bring some beauty in, bring some joy in. Yes. I do believe it's possible. And as you know, if you've listened to us long enough, we're so about me too, I see you.
Yep.
And what can we do with this? Right? What can we do with this? How can we reframe it? And again, not in the Instagram toxic positivity world. That's not what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, how can I grow from this? What's the best way I can go about this, even though I'm feeling all these feelings?
Right. Because you still deserve to live and love and laugh, even despite being a forever nester, right?
Wow. Beautifully said.
And I would also offer that as we are living and lifing and loving, right? And being loved. How about that? I know for me that when my cup is a little bit more full, when I'm, you know, seeking out those little opportunities, then I am such a better, you know, partner, mother, daughter, sister, friend, cousin, fill in the blank, neighbor, right? We all need a boost. It's just a fact.
Is there any longing or wish or thought that has come up for you as we've done this episode?
I'm wondering about siblings, like what the sibling experience is when one of your other siblings doesn't launch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm just thinking about that coming home to not just the parents, but the triad. And, you know, I know this is interesting. I know when my brother and I went to college, and my sister was the last one home, I remember a sense of jealousy because I remember like her birthday, they got her like diamond earrings. She had, they had all this space and time to just give her. And she just got all the best when we went to college. I was like, why do you get to have all this? But she had my parents to herself, you know, and I just remember a little bit of jealousy because I was the middle child, by the way. So my brother at some point got my parents by themselves, and I never did. And so I just wonder, there's so many things that are different for our children, you know, being siblings to someone with, you know, a disability or special needs. I don't know. That's the thought that just came to my mind.
Well, I like that because somebody did mention this, that, you know, when their kids have kids, their neurotypical kids have kids.
Oh, yes.
And they just want to be able to be a hands-on grandma and fun grandma and help out and support their kids and the grandkids freely. Without having to get coverage so that they could do that. I mean, I know Ryan would love to come, but I also know it would be easier for me to be able just to focus on the baby or the toddler or the school age child, whatever it is I'm futurizing. Yeah, I want to be that grandma. I want to be that really supportive grandparent and give that to my other kids, to Luke and Kate, if they choose to have kids, and not have to always worry about getting coverage so that I can go help them.
Right. And you don't want them to feel like, I can't get help from mom because of Ryan, because she's got to deal with Ryan. And so I don't have, you know, a parent who can be that hands-on grandparent. Yeah, it's both what we want and also, you know, what they want.
Yeah, want and need and deserve, frankly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, for everyone out there listening, thank you so much. And just know that we feel things along with you. We think about things. We toil about things. We worry. We wonder. We what if. We do all of it with you, and we care so deeply. Please remember to call into SpeakPipe. It's our good old-fashioned voicemail. Leave us a question. Leave us a story. Leave us something funny and hilarious or embarrassing from the caregiving journey. We would love to hear from you. The link is in our show notes. And as always, we always like to end an episode with telling you that we see you and we love you. Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization? We are Brave Together. We are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats all over the United States. We've also published 2 books, our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight, and our newest release, Suddenly Brave Together, Letters to Caregiving Moms at a Defining Moment in Their Lives. Both books offer stories of hope and transformation and encouragement and validation for every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.